Thank you for your patience this morning with all the moving around. We can't press pause and fast forward, can we? So I'm glad you're here. You can't hear me, okay? Yeah, I'm glad that you're here this morning. I hope that this is a memorable Pride Day for you. Every year at Pride, I recall a lot of things that Pride has meant to me, and I've shared a lot of them in the past. I'll share briefly again today. It's kind of the annual telling of my story. But the subject of joy connected to Pride is very important in my spiritual formation and becoming the person that I am today. So I'm going to talk with you about joy. The dictionary defines joy in this way. Joy is the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. I had a group here called the Joyful Sound, and for 5 years we were the opening group down at the waterfront on Pride Sunday. And we would get out there on these Pride Sundays, and there would be all the people with their signs calling us all the names and so on that there were for us. Hatred was their kind of their song that they were singing. But we had a different song. We had a song of joy in the Holy Ghost and victory over the things that could bind us. We had a song that could change lives, change hopes, and change people's direction. A song that they also thought they knew. And I'll tell you this, by the time we got to the second verse of the first song, we looked out over that yard or the lawn, and those people had vanished into thin air. I don't know where they went, but they could not deal with us singing on Pride Sunday about the joy of knowing God and God's love and about our Savior, Jesus Christ. And to be able to see that happen and be part of that, and then sing on the back of the church float going through the streets of Portland, brought such joy in my heart and gave me such victory at that time in my life that I've never been the same since. In Galatians, Paul lists the what we often call the fruits of the Spirit. Can you name them? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, and faithfulness. Joy is on the list, and we commonly refer to them as the fruits of the Spirit, plural. But I kind of have a different take on it. I believe, actually, there is only one singular fruit of the Spirit that's made up of these elements in sort of an equal way. Think of it like this. How can you say you have joy if you don't have peace? How can you say that you have love if you don't have faithfulness? How can you be big on gentleness and goodness but not have love and joy? They're all related, and it's all one fruit of the Spirit. But I believe the defining characteristic of God's people, by the way, look around you, that's us this morning. I believe the defining characteristic of God's people is a deep and abiding sense of joy. It's okay to shout amen once in a while. Amen. I was raised around people of great joy. My immediate family, our relatives, our friends in the church were all people filled with unspeakable joy. The atmosphere of joy left an intense impression upon me from the days of my childhood. The Bible proclaims the joy of the Lord is our strength. These people had a strength of faith and character that was then and still is today remarkable to me. A heart and a spirit filled with joy is what sets us apart. This joy will allow us to face all of our battles and struggles and come out victorious on the other side. There's a wonderful story in the 20th chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles. Our president would say Chronicles 2. Anyway, chapter 20. I invite you to mark that down in your mind and read it this week. The story, it's a sermon all its own and a powerful one, but this is told as part of that story. King Jehoshaphat and the people of God got word that from the north there was coming, marching against them, a great army, an overwhelming army, and one that they would really not have much hope of defeating or defending their country. So early one morning, the king met with the people, and they decided to do something very unusual. Early that morning, they set out marching toward this invading army to defend their homeland. In front of their army, the story is, they placed their choir of all things. This was a group of people who went marching toward the enemy, singing and shouting and praising God. Hearing this great multitude of singers frightened the invaders, who turned on each other and defeated themselves. The battle was won, and it was a total victory. And I proclaim to you this morning that your greatest weapon in the battles and struggles of life is a singing heart. A heart filled with the joy of the Lord, singing out loud, singing on purpose about the goodness of God will empower you and give you great victories. Energetic, enthusiastic joy is your greatest weapon. The joy is both your shield and your sword. Always count on it and never forget it. However, when we look over at the passage I read in Psalm 137, when we look at the story that takes place there, we see the people of God in a completely different place. They had been living in Zion, the promised land. They had their bountiful, beautiful fields that were producing. Their herds were growing. They were prospering. They had their scrolls and their temple and all the sacred utensils and liturgy of their worship. They were enjoying the promised blessings of God in every way, spiritually, financially, culturally, any way you look at it, things were going very well. The people of Zion were happy. They were joyful people filled with gladness. But it came to pass that out of the north, the army of Babylon came against them and led them into captivity. For decades, the people of Zion were captives in a strange land. Their temples and their cities were destroyed. Their precious Ark of the Covenant was in the possession of infidels. Their way of life and their way of worship was destroyed. So the scripture says, by the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung up our harps. They no longer had a singing heart. What did their captors say to them? You folks have changed. Where is your gladness and joy? Their captors mocked them because they could no longer sing the songs of Zion. There they were, captives in a strange land. They were somewhere they had never expected to be, camped by the rivers of Zion with their harps hung up in the trees. Have you ever found yourself in a place that you never expected to be? Camped by a river in a strange land? I know I have. I was raised in a Christian home, went to a Christian college, called into the ministry at a young age, pursued the call, became an ordained minister. But I had never dealt with my sexuality, which was incompatible with my association with that particular denomination. So I set out to find my way, and I wandered in the wilderness for 20 years. I could not seem to reconcile it all. And far away from home, missing so much that was precious to me, I found myself sitting by the river in Babylon, no harp in hand, weeping as I remembered how it once was, and trying to believe how it could be again. It was at that moment that I walked into this place, and I heard a certain sound that lifted me up. It was the sound of joy coming from my own heart, and I knew I had found home. And I reached up into the tree and grabbed my harp and tuned it up, and everything was new again. And I think as a church, we have struggled with this in the past many months. We have found ourselves in a place that we as a church have never expected to be. Betrayed by someone we trusted implicitly, none of us really knew what to do. And I think we're still struggling to fix it. I think as a church, we found ourselves camped by a river in a strange land. It's been tough for us to sing at times recently. We wept together, and we still weep as we remember the sweetness of how it had once been before when we were in Zion. And some people have mocked us because we could not sing. Still, we could not find our voice. And I think some of us are still reaching for our harps. We're still trying to remember the songs of Zion. We've been grieving and we've been mourning. We are in need of the miracle of a singing heart. As the people of God, I want to remind you of a promise that God made us. We sang about it. We read it earlier in the service from Isaiah. God has promised us as a people that the redeemed of the Lord will return and come to Zion with singing. And everlasting joy shall be upon our heads. They shall obtain, that's us, gladness and joy, and all the sorrow and all the mourning shall flee away. Yes, we will come singing our way in, and instead of mourning and sorrow, we will obtain gladness and joy. God has promised to comfort everybody that mourns and provide a remedy for those who are grieving, bestowing upon them a crown of beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. So, what happened to the people of God camped by the river? Well, there was a prophet named Nehemiah. He saw a way of escape, and he led the people of God back to Zion. And early one morning after they had returned, Nehemiah took his assistant with him, and he went for a walk. He went walking among the ruins. As he walked among the ruins, he said in his heart, "It's not right for the walls of the city to lie in ruin." And God gave him right there a vision to rebuild the walls. When you allow God to work, and God brings you back to Zion with singing, you will be filled with gladness and joy. And when that happens, you better watch out, because you will run headfirst into a powerful and compelling vision. Empowered with a singing heart of joy, you begin to rebuild the ancient walls of the city. You will discover your next thing and you will fulfill your calling as a child of God, and we will fulfill our calling as a church and a congregation worshiping and serving God, and we shall be covered with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Would you pray with me? We thank you, O God, for this message this morning. And I pray, O God, if there are those that feel that their joy may have been robbed, or that they have not really been living under the promises that you have had for them, that you will give us again, individually and as a church, a singing heart, and let us experience the miracles that happen when we live our lives with a singing heart of joy. In thy name we pray. Amen.